But today is a special day. It's my first Father's Day with Maddox outside of the womb. Last year, Sarah Beth was pregnant with Maddox, but obviously it's a little bit different. And it's just an exciting day to get to celebrate dads, because dads are known for lots of things, or at least most dads are. They're known for loving their family fiercely. That's a big one. For a lot of dads, they're known for falling asleep in the recliner, and a lot of them snoring maybe just a little too loudly. The third thing is they're known for this ability to be asleep, but know if somebody's touching the remote that is in their hands when they fell asleep. They could have been asleep for an hour, and all of a sudden the show changes, and you want to change it, and you go to barely even think about touching the remote, and they wake up and be like, I've been watching this the whole time, like the whole hour. I've been wide awake. Dads are known for protecting the thermostat at all costs. They know that the thermostat needs to be set on, and do not touch it because they will make sure, or they will add it and take it out of your allowance if you turned it down an extra degree or two. And lastly, dads are infamous for never reading the instructions, never even attempting to read the instructions. They will open a box, a toy, or whatever it is they have to put together, and they will open up instructions and see all the steps. It could be 3,000 steps, and they're like, nope, not going to use those, and they're going to try to figure it out on their own. And they get to the end, or now me, I get to the end, and I see about 5 screws and like 2 little pieces of wood, and I'm like, that's awesome, they gave extras. Like, that's really cool, just in case if I wanted to reinforce something, they have extra pieces and extra screws. I'm sure that actually had nothing to do with what you're actually putting together. And while we might try to put things together like that, and while it might work, maybe it would actually work best if we actually use the instructions and put it together as it was designed and as it was created. Because things tend to work best when we know how and why they were designed. And it's no different with us as people. We ask these common questions all the time of, how am I supposed to live day to day? What does that look like for me as a follower of Christ, just as a person, a human being, to live day to day today? Or why do I even exist? Like, why am I even here? And these are big questions that point to a creator that is much, much bigger than us. But that is where we begin to find our answers. And if we're searching, a great place to start is in God's word. And just like with most things, a great place to start is in the beginning. Because just like any movie where if you just jumped in the middle or the end, and it really wouldn't make much sense because you really didn't fully understand the beginning, so is the same with our lives, and especially with our walk with the Lord. It's easy to skim past the first large chunk of scripture in the Old Testament and skip right to the New because we can see it as boring, or maybe we heard a bunch of those stories growing up, but it really sets up a really poor foundation for the rest of our knowledge that we're building this scripture upon. Because unfortunately, again, too many people are like, you know what? I don't need to read the Old Testament. I know those stories. I grew up, I went to VBS every single year. I know all about God creating and Adam and Eve and all that stuff. And again, while you can read through just the Old Testament and gain somewhat of an understanding of a lot to do with our faith, you really can't get a full picture. You kind of get a half picture. You can't get a full picture unless you see it from the beginning. And that's where I want us to see today as we're going through this series called Rediscover, where we're looking through different accounts and different things in the Old Testament that maybe we learned as a kid, but we haven't really revisited much since. And so we're looking today in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 specifically. We're going to look today at some important truths, and that is that everyone has a creator, that we were not accidents, that we are not random products of chance, but that we were actually created by God. Yes, we were birthed from our parents, but we were created by God. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created everything. And then we see in the following verses, in 2 through 25, which we'll get in deeper in a minute, that we read the account of God. He creates day and night, land and animals, plants, all of these things. And from the start, just reading scripture, a lot of people think it's boring, but we read those things of the God of the universe creating all that, and it should stir in us some kind of amazement for the God that we worship. If we believe that's to be true, that we serve a God who could speak things into existence, we should be able to read scripture with at least some type of amazement. Because if you look, if you watch Animal Planet or just Earth or whatever the shows are called on Netflix now and see how ecosystems work together or how the weather works or how species of animals function or plants and just the vastness of all of how big it all is, it's mind-blowing. And it's even more mind-blowing when you truly in your heart believe that we serve a creator God who created all of that. And that's just Earth. And while, yes, Earth is significant, we often forget that Earth is just the tiniest speck in a much bigger universe that we're just kind of floating in, that we're this just big ball. Yes, big ball, not flat, but big ball just going through space. And despite our size, again, compared to all else God has created, despite all those complex things, despite all the universe, despite everything that we as human beings are his prized creation, that we are his prized creation. So if you have your Bible, it's going to open up to Genesis 1. It's probably one of the easiest books to find. It's the very beginning. And we're going to jump down into verses 26 through 28 right now. It says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and they will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, the whole earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth." So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth." So if you're taking notes, the first point I want us to just focus on today is that we were created by God. So as we look back into the beginning of Genesis, and we don't have time to read all of it, we see that God created all that we see around us and a ton that we cannot and never will actually see. In verse 4, it says, God saw the light, and it was good. In 10, God saw the water and the dry land, and it was good. So he's creating these things, he sees it, and he proclaims it as good. Verse 12, God created the plants and the trees and saw that it was good. Verse 18, God created the sun and the moon and saw that it was good. 21, God created the creatures in the sky and water and saw that it was good. And in verses 24 and 25, God created animals of the land, saw that it was good. And before we move any further, I want us to understand that his creation would have been perfect without us. That God didn't need us to make what he created to be perfect. But instead, God desired us. God wanted us. In Genesis 2, 4 through 9, it says this. If you just skip forward a little bit. It says, "These are the records of the heavens and earth concerning their creation. At the time that the Lord had made the earth and the heavens, no shrub of the field had yet grown on the land, and no plant of the field had yet sprouted, for the Lord God had not made it rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground. But mist would come up from the earth and water all the ground. Then the Lord God formed the man out of the dust from the beginning and breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and the man became a living being." Again, he didn't need us, but yet he created us and wanted us. We were a part of his plan before any of this was ever created. And we see it throughout Scripture, not just in the Old Testament, but all throughout Scripture, even into the New Testament. In Matthew 25, 34, it says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Ephesians 1, 4, Paul says, "For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in love before him." And then further down in today's passage in Genesis 1, 31, after God created humans, the Bible says God saw that he had made, and it was very good indeed. See, God makes no mistakes. He didn't in his creation then, and he doesn't in his creation now. You are not here by accident. No matter what somebody might have told you in your life or might have spoken into you, you are not here by accident. The same God who created all that we talked about, all that he saw it and it was good, looks at you as well and all of your mess and everything. He says, "I have created you and it is good." And that should be amazing to us. But not only did he create us, but he did something better. We were created in his image. What makes us stand out from everything in his creation is our second point, is that we were created in the image of God. Dogs were not created in the image of God, as amazing as they are. Trees and all that were not created in the image of God. We, as people, were created in his image. In Genesis 1:27, it says, "So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female." And so usually when things are repeated in Scripture, it's something that we need to make sure we cling on to. So we see it here twice in verse 27 because God wanted to make sure that we didn't overlook this fact that he created us in his image. God wanted us to share in his attributes and his abilities to relate to one another, to love, to create, to reason, and so much more. And before sin entered the world, we were created to also share in the perfection of his nature. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, Paul writes, "And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." And while on this side of heaven, we will never fully restore to the image of God that we were originally created to be on this side of heaven, it doesn't take away from our purpose to still strive to get there, to still try our best to display the image of God every single day and to not take that lightly. People should look at us and see God. They should be able to see his love and his mercy and his grace and his kindness and all the ways that we go about our days. But do you strive for others to look at you and see God? Or do you strive for them to look at you and see something completely different? Is your number one objective in life for people to look at you and be like, that's a little taste of what I think God would be like? Like, that's just a little taste of what I think God would be like. Or is your number one priority to be like, no, like, they are a really good social media influencer. Or they are a really successful businessman. Or they are just the best mom. Or they are the popular kid at school. Like, what is it that you are wanting people to look at you and see first? There's a popular theologian who passed away a few years ago. He says this: "Too often we define ourselves by what we feel or what we do instead of who we were created to be. Too often we define ourselves by what we feel or what we do instead of who we were created to be." Returning to the image of our original creation is a beautiful thing. We see that sin entered the world and it messed everything up, but we are still in this pursuit of what we were designed originally in creation. But it comes through times of trusting God to continually change your heart, to continually change your mind, as we see in the book of Romans 12 at the very beginning of that chapter, for God to change your thoughts, to change your actions in a way that only he can, because he is the author of our uniquely created stories, and every single one of them, again, no matter what you've been told, has a specific good purpose. And lastly, point three is that we are created to serve and worship God. Genesis 1:28 says, "God blessed them and God said to them, 'Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth.'" And 2:8-9 says, "The Lord planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed the man he had formed, the Lord God caused to grow out of the ground every tree pleasing in appearance and good for food, including the tree of life in the middle of the garden, as well as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And then we skip down to verses 15 through 23. It says, "The Lord God took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden to work it and watch over it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For on the day you will eat it, you will certainly die.' Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper corresponding to him.' The Lord God formed out of the ground every wild animal and every bird of the sky and brought each to a man to see what he would call it, to the man to see what he would call it. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the livestock, to the birds of the sky, to every wild animal. But for the man, no helper was found corresponding to him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to come over the man, and he slept. God took one of his ribs and closed the flesh at that place. Then the Lord God made the rib he had taken from the man into a woman and brought her to the man. And the man said, 'This one at last is a bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This one will be called woman, for she was taken from man.'" See, we have a responsibility now for the earth that God created, both for the earth itself, but also for those around us on this earth. We were created to serve God. That is why we were created, to actually serve him, not out of obligation, not because like, oh, I have to wake up today and I have to serve God, I have to do these things because he says so, but no, out of joy, out of worship, because we want to. Because not because I have to, it's because I get to. And there's a big difference between those two things. And for a lot of us, you will see a shift in your life when you move from I have to serve God to I get to serve God. And the joy and the pleasure and all the amazing things that come when you get to this side. Colossians 1:16 says, For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. All things were created through him and for him, not through him and for me or for you. All things were created through him and for him, not through him and for me or for you. We were created for a purpose, and that purpose is much bigger than ourselves. I know it's a little hot in here, like I said earlier, so I tried to trim down to make this a little bit easier. And so as we wrap up, one of the ways that I get sucked into watching way too many videos online, like just pulled into my phone, is watching people make delicious food. And it never fails. It's when I'm really hungry and I'm just scrolling through and I know the algorithm hits. I watch one and it knows just to keep adding them in there over and over again. And these 1 minute videos, I watch them and I'm like, you know what? I could do that. And so I usually will send them to Sarah Beth to save and I'll normally never touch them. But what I actually love about these videos is they'll show about half of it, of the original video, and then another half of somebody actually trying to accomplish what they just saw. And my favorite ones are when they just fail epically. They used to be called Pinterest fails, and then reels and stuff happen. But I have a few pictures of what I'm talking about. There's one that what I would probably do. There's Santa there on the left and something evil there on the right. And then there's Cookie Monster. That's pretty rough. That would scare a child on the right if that was their cake. Same with the Minion. That Minion on the right is probably possessed. Not sure. And then that's a good Easter cake. And so, again, something I would create there on the right. But see, the problem with these fails is I'm sure they tried their best to follow the recipe, because the same recipe that made the first one somehow made the second. So the recipe itself wasn't the problem. It was the person trying to execute it. There was nothing wrong with the recipe itself. And I want us to see as we close tonight that God's creation was and is perfect. There is not a single thing wrong with it. And what he created, all of it is perfect. It continues to be perfect. In Genesis 2:25, it says, both the man and his wife were naked, yet felt no shame. God's design, and it was originally created, had no shame. In God's design, there was no pain. In his design, there was no violence. In his design, there was no depression or no anxiety. But too often, when things go wrong in this world, we like to take our finger, point to the sky, and say, how dare you? How dare you, God? And we like to blame him as if it's his fault. And he was like, no, don't look at me. The way I designed it was perfect. All that pain you're feeling, it was never designed to be that way. And as we, if you were to continue to read in the book of Genesis, you will see that sin enters the world through Adam and Eve, and they rebel against God, and then everything changes. And ever since then, we've been on a pursuit to restore our relationship with Jesus. And he was able to do that and given us an opportunity to do that by coming to earth, by dying on the cross, by taking the penalty for the sin that we deserved, and by and conquered death by raising from the dead 3 days later. So that we now can be restored to God and what sin broke originally. As I mentioned earlier, I know that today being Father's Day, it comes with lots of emotions depending on your family. For some, it's joyful and gratitude are the feelings you get. For others, it's bittersweet because they have their own kids, but they miss their dad. For some, it's not a good day at all because your dad was absent or distant or even hurtful. And the reality is our experiences with earthly fathers can vary greatly, and you learn that more as you get to know people. And while a single sermon or just me speaking something probably can't fix everything, one of the beautiful truths of Scripture is that God is not a reflection of our earthly fathers. God is not a reflection of our earthly fathers. Our earthly fathers are the imperfect reflections of him. The big difference between those two. God is not a reflection of our earthly fathers. Our earthly fathers are an imperfect reflection of him. So no matter what you have experienced, whether good or bad, when we look at God, we get to see the picture of a perfect father. A father who never leaves, a father who never forgets, and a father who knows you completely and loves you fully. And that right there is goals for those of us in the room who are dads, and it's hope for those in the room who might not have had those figures in their life. And today, as we talk about being created by God, again, I want us to remember that every single one of us ultimately finds our identity not in our earthly family, despite how amazing that it is, but in the one who created us. That your identity ultimately is in the one heavenly Father who created you, the one who you were made in his image to delight in him, to worship him, and to find joy in a life completely devoted to him. And so as the worship team heads back up, we're just gonna enter into a time of response. And again, I know today can be a hard day, can be a difficult day, not just for those having to navigate different family gatherings, but those who are having to navigate lots of feelings and emotions. And I just kind of want to give you space to do that as we respond now. Space to remember everything we just talked about going back to understanding why you were created to begin with and who you were created by ultimately above all things, but to also remember that there is always hope no matter what you have been through or what the situation in front of you actually might look like. That you can still trust God even when your life might be going a little off the rails. When the situation in front of you might look a little bit uncertain, much like the situation that we find our friend Stephen in right now, that our prayer for him is that he continues to trust God one day at a time, despite how difficult it might be. That you continue to trust God one day at a time, despite all the grief that you might be feeling. That you trust God one day at a time, no matter what might be in front of you. Because we just sang about, he has good plans for us. And as we're about to sing, we can trust him. Because he is good and he is faithful and that will never change. So pray with me. Dear God, I thank you for today. God, we give thanks for the fathers and father figures in our lives, God, who have tried their best, as imperfect as they might be, to point to you. And we just thank you for that. God, I pray for those in this room who might not have had a great father example. Maybe they weren't around, or maybe they just weren't that great of a person. They provided zero example of what a heavenly father looks like. And God, I pray that as they open your word, as they grow in their relationship with you, that they see that you love them. Despite their imperfections, despite what they might look like, despite what career path they might have chose, God, despite what their family looks like, God, that you still love them, that you care for them. And God, those that are grieving today, Lord, because of lost fathers, either recently or even a long time ago, God, I pray for just an overwhelming amount of peace onto their hearts right now in this moment. God, that they're able to reflect and find joy in the memories and the good things and the good things that happened with their father while they were still here. But for all of us, God, both as we reflect today and on Father's Day, but also every day, that we would remember, God, that ultimately you created us and that we are created in your image. And God, that we would make it our heart's desire to not have to, but to want to go every single day being that reflection to those around us, whether we're a father or not. That our life's goal is to reflect you, to love others like you love, to show grace to those who don't deserve it, to give mercy to those who don't deserve it, because all of those are how you treat us and how you love us. So be with us now as we respond. We love you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.